anybody else here has been doing the 40 days, the Lent 40 days that Niku set up for us on Facebook. Yeah, a few. It has been an enormous blessing to folk at our church, and I think we should give him a little round of applause for putting that together. And I think it's not going to be the last thing, like the last set of devotionals that Niku does. I reckon there's going to be, I think there's a lot more in there that's going to come out. So Niku, come up, and I'm just going to pray for you as you come to speak to us tonight. Father, thank you for this dear man who loves you and that you shine out of him. Thank you, Lord, that we see your living presence in Niku. And Jesus, as he speaks tonight, I pray that we would catch a glimpse of his love for you, that it might be infectious for us this evening. We do love you, Lord. You're so wonderful. And I thank you that in Niku is a true worshipper. And I pray that we might catch a bit of that, a bit of what it means to surrender to you tonight, because we can say those words, but it's quite hard to do. So help us, Lord, tonight. Help us know how to actually do that in our lives. And we welcome you, Lord, to speak to us personally, each one. Amen.
Thank you. It's so good to be here. Sorry, just need to sort out my stuff. These aren't mine. So... it's really great to be here tonight, being here every Sunday night, but this time not up there. So for those of you who are wondering why it's not me up there, Trevor and I have a swap day today. Not really. That was a joke that didn't work, obviously. So we're going to go straight into the reading tonight, and I'm going to read Philippians 3, verse 10 to 14. So if you have a Bible or you have your Bible app open and ready, Philippians 3, verse 10 to 14. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. So today, on Easter Sunday, we celebrate Christ's resurrection from and his victory over death. And tonight, we're going to look at the resurrection power of Christ in our own lives. And I'm going to look at three things in this passage that kind of stood out for me. But first, let's pray. So Lord Jesus, we thank you that we are all here tonight. And I thank you, Lord, for your resurrection power being alive in us already. And I just really ask that you will give us a sense of your presence here and that you will interact with every one of us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a great story. It's actually a joke that I'm going to call it a story anyway. About three groups of people who was part of a protest march in South Africa. The march was about everyone having equal rights. So the front part of the protest, the leaders, the guys who organized it, was chanting, "We want equal rights! We want equal rights!" There were some people joining in later on who didn't quite know what it was all about. So they were chanting, "We want electric lights! We want electric lights!" And then there were the people joining at the back who just basically wanted a day off school or off work, who misheard the second group of people, and they shouted, "We want big shark bites! We want big shark bites!" Now, the reason I start with this story is partly because it's funny. I find it funny, and I've been told by some people that since I became a dad, I've got a dad joke sense of humor. So this is really funny for me. But the real reason I want to start with this story is because it's so true for every one of us sometimes in our walk with Christ. We can so easily get worked up about all the things around Jesus, even the things he did and still do today, that we miss him, Jesus Christ, completely. We can join the party at the back, chanting something that we overheard someone else say, but we miss the point. We miss Jesus Christ completely. For instance, we can get so focused on the gifts of the Spirit that pride can sneak into our hearts, looking down on those who have gifts of seemingly less value than our own. Jesus never looked down on anyone. He loved everyone equally, even the ones who nailed him to a cross on a Friday. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 to 3 says this: "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." Sometimes we focus so much on our religious checklists, like praying, going to church, singing songs, doing religious stuff, etc., etc., that we miss why we do them in the first place, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees did in the time of Jesus. In Micah 6, verse 6 to 8, it says this: "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" And this specific bit got new meaning to me about 3 months ago when my baby girl was born. "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good," he being God. "And what does the Lord require of you?" Fairly easy, 3 things: to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. The thing is, God doesn't want us to do stuff for him. He wants us to know him. We can get so engrossed in making preaching and ministry relevant or hard-hitting or powerful that we water down the plain truth of Christ's power and love and his love to the point of heresy, or even missing the whole point completely sometimes. Truth will never be irrelevant. Truth will never be irrelevant, especially in a time such as this where it is so rare. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3 to 5 says, "I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling." I kind of relate to this tonight. "I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." There's a clear distinction there, that your faith may not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Because human wisdom will never do. I'm sure we can think of so many ways in which we miss the mark, religiously or in life in general. Now, the thing is, this might sound really silly and really straightforward, but it's true. The thing about Christ's resurrection power is that it is all about Christ and his resurrection. I'm going to say that again. The thing about Christ's resurrection power is that it's all about Christ and his resurrection. If it becomes about anything other than him, Jesus Christ, it is not his power we see, but our own. The wisdom of man instead of the power of God. We will see Christ's resurrection power in our own lives when we know Christ. And I don't think we'll see it if we don't know Christ. John 14, verse 6 to 7 says this. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. And from now on, you do know him and you have seen him. Jesus is the only way. How do we get to know Christ? Some things that help me to know Christ is this, spending time with him. And it seems like really straightforward stuff, but things like spending time with him, taking time out of a day to spend with Jesus Christ, speaking to him and listening to him. The great thing about Easter Sunday is that it reminds us that Jesus is not dead anymore. He is alive, and he wants you and I to know him intimately. We're not speaking to a dead person. We're speaking to someone who is alive. We will see Christ's resurrection power in our lives if we know Christ. At the Council of Nicaea, or the Nicene Council, it was a really important church meeting many, many years ago in the 4th century AD. And there were about 318 delegates attending that meeting. Now you can imagine how a meeting like that should go in the 4th century without PA systems and so on. But 318 bishops and church leaders from all around the world came together to discuss Christianity and Christendom at that time. And the thing about the 318 delegates was that less than 12 of them had not lost an eye or lost a hand or did not limp on a leg lamed by torture for their Christian faith. Less than 12 of them had not paid a dear price for their Christian faith that we know of. Jesus says in John 15, verse 18 to 20, that if we follow him, we will be persecuted. This was certainly true for the men at the Nicene Council. Suffering and hardship is often a very sensitive topic, and I've heard people trying to simplify it or to try to talk it away with easy answers or short catchphrases. Suffering and hardship, I think, is a whole sermon series unto itself. And I'm not even going to go into that very deeply tonight. But the harsh reality is, however, that we don't learn much or grow much without struggle or suffering. When a butterfly comes out of its cocoon, it takes a long time to squeeze out. Have any of you seen this before? A butterfly coming out of a cocoon. It takes a long time, and it's a real struggle for the butterfly. The reason being that the struggle and the squeeze forces fluid in the body out into the wings where it is needed to make the wings expand. Without the struggle to freedom, the butterfly won't be able to fly. The wings won't expand and the butterfly won't be able to fly. Or think of a vine that clings to an oak tree. Have you seen one of those in Richmond Park maybe? You've seen a vine clinging to an oak tree? When strong winds come and the vine is behind the tree shelters the vine from the wind. But when it is in front of the tree, where the wind hits hardest, the wind forces the vine even closer to the tree. In the same way, God sometimes shelters us from affliction, and at other times, he lets suffering and struggle press us closer to him. This, however, does not explain all suffering in the world, not at all. And I'm not even going to try and explain all suffering in the world. But all of us, whether we follow Christ or not, will experience suffering at some point in our lives. I'm sure every one of us can relate to some form of struggle or suffering that we've experienced in our lives. The wonderful thing about following Christ, however, is that we're never alone in the suffering. We follow the one who has suffered more than any other, but remained faithful and rose from the dead triumphantly. It's a great verse in Hebrews 4, verse 14 and 15, that says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us, with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Jesus, knows what we're going through. And he will always know what we're going through. It's a great song by a guy called Mark Schultz, I Have Been There, where he goes in his verses. Let me give you some feedback or some background on this. I love music, which is why I do what I do. I sing and play guitar in churches. So I love music, but I love Jesus even more. And this song goes through three verses of different things in life where Jesus says in the chorus every time, I have been there. I have been there. And maybe there's someone tonight here who needs to know Jesus saying to you, I have been there. You're not alone in this. I have been there. We will see Christ's resurrection power in our lives when we are willing to suffer for it or because of it. We will see Christ's resurrection power in our lives when we're willing to suffer for it or because of it. In 1 Peter 2, verse 20 to 21, Peter writes this. He says, but how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Jesus never, never promised us an easy ride, but he did promise that we won't ride alone. We will see Christ's resurrection power in our lives when we are willing to suffer for it or because of it. Now, I was born in South Africa. For those of you who are wondering what this accent is, it's South African. I was born in South Africa and I grew up in a Christian home in a small town called Beaufort West, about 450 kilometers from Cape Town. Does anyone know of that small town? Yes, thank you. The fellow South African knows about it. Probably just driving through there from somewhere else to Cape Town. Anyway, I was born in that town. And my mother used to take my sister and I to church every Sunday. And I remember finding the song sung with organ accompaniment. Sorry, Trevor. And all the liturgy very long and very boring. I was a child and I didn't understand half of it. The old lady behind me not singing in tune was a distraction. The old guy next to me falling asleep halfway through the sermon was another distraction. And the sermons was never very child-friendly, but it was all beautiful in some unexplainable way. When I was 13, about 4 months into my secondary school career, I went on a youth camp where I officially gave my life to Christ. And what an amazing moment that was. It felt like a new sense of life was born in me. I felt accepted. I felt like I came alive for the first time. I felt loved. Not that I wasn't loved or accepted before, but it just seemed that my whole life had meaning and new vibrance to it. And since then, my walk with Christ has been an onward struggle of ups and downs, victories and failures, leaps and stumbles. It's definitely not been easy all of the time, but it's definitely not been hard all the way either. I love Jesus Christ, and I take great pleasure in knowing that he loved me first. That's my testimony in probably about 2 minutes. And for a very long time, I thought that this testimony isn't very powerful or very good. I've heard people talk about just being rescued from really bad things like drug addiction or horrible circumstances or even near-death experiences and meeting Christ through that. And I always felt that my little testimony isn't as powerful as theirs. Have any of you ever felt like that? You have? Yeah? Like me? The thing about that is, what I had to learn in that is this. If you feel that your testimony isn't as amazing as someone else's, then you don't fully understand what happened to you when you got saved. I didn't fully understand what happened to me when I got saved. You were dead. I was dead. Now you're alive. Now I am alive. I'm going to say that again. You were dead. Now you're alive. Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 10 says this. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. And then this amazing verse. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. I'm going to read that again. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Can a testimony be more powerful than that? You were dead, and now you're alive. Do you realize that? I was dead, and now I'm alive. The wonderful thing is that Jesus Christ gives us this opportunity to become alive in him with his through his resurrection power, because he loves us and he gives it out to every one of us freely. You won't find life in any other place or any other thing, and you have the opportunity to experience this tonight. We will see Christ's resurrection power in our lives when we realize that it's there. We will see Christ's resurrection power in our lives when we realize it is there. Have you realized that his resurrection power is in you already? I'm going to finish up by reading another verse. Paul writes this in Philippians 3, verse 12 to 14. That we read earlier. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. We've all been called to life for a purpose. And I believe Christ's resurrection power is pivotal in fulfilling that purpose or reaching that goal in the way that God intended it. We need to step out and live lives pointing to Christ and his resurrection. But what does that mean to you? What does that mean for you? Do you need to start praying for people to be healed? Do you need to start preaching the good news? Do you need to start using your gifts and talents? Do you need to change your lifestyle in order to bring glory to Christ? Not to get saved, but to bring glory to Christ. Do you need to have a conversation with a friend or a colleague? Do you need to step out of your comfort zone and take a risk? Whatever that may be for you, you won't see Christ's resurrection power until you know Christ, until you're willing to suffer for it, and you realize that it's already in you. Now, it might seem a bit like a tall order. It might seem like a high mountain to climb, and it probably is, but the thing is, we're not climbing this mountain alone. We've not been called to do impossible things on our own and in our own power. We've been called to do impossible things through Christ's resurrection power alive in us today. Henry Varley said this. He was a guy who spoke with, I've forgotten who he spoke with. It's an American evangelist, and these words were pivotal in this guy's calling. He said, "The world has yet to see what God will do with a man who is fully and wholly consecrated to the Holy Spirit. The world has yet to see what God will do with a man who is fully and wholly consecrated to the Holy Spirit." Now I'm going to leave you with this question. Do you think you can be that man or woman? Fully and wholly consecrated to the Holy Spirit. It's not about what we're doing. It's about who we know. Jesus Christ. I would like to invite everyone to close their eyes for a minute. It might seem awkward, but don't worry, it's just the dark. I firmly believe that everyone here tonight is here for a reason. And if you'd like to take up the offer of new life in Christ Jesus tonight, whether it's for the first time or for the 100th time, I'd like you to raise a hand as we keep our eyes closed. Will you just raise your hand if you want to take up the offer of new life in Jesus Christ tonight? Just raise your hand. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I would like to invite you to pray this in your heart as well. Dear God, I admit I am a sinner and I need your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ died in my place, paying the penalty for my sins. I am willing now to turn from my sin and accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and Lord. I commit myself to you and ask that you will send the Holy Spirit into my life to fill me and take control and to help me become the person you want me to be. Thank you, Father, for loving me. Amen. Now, if you have just given your life to Christ for the first time, I'd like to invite you to come to the front to pray with someone while we worship. So if the worship team would like to go up on stage, and we're going to sing a couple of songs. So I'd like to invite you to come to the front, and the worship the prayer team would love to pray with you. The reason being that we'd like to welcome you into the church family and to support you in your journey with Christ into the future. But then also, if anyone wants prayer for other specific things, then I'd like to invite you to come to the front as well, and the prayer team will be very willing.